everybody. I'm Dr. Frank Newport, and welcome to our Gallup podcast. Today, we're going to do a thorough review of what you need to know now about public opinion on a series of key topics of the day. We sit here at Gallup reviewing a great deal of data about public opinion, and today we're going to distill and report to you on this podcast some of the most important or interesting findings that we come across. And we're going to begin with President Trump. That probably doesn't surprise you. I can say that I am asked more about President Trump than any other topic in public opinion at this point. In fact, that's been the case for the last year or two. So it's a good time for us to look at where the president stands in terms of his job approval rating and how that compares with previous presidents and the average for all presidents we've looked at over the years. Trump's approval rating, as we speak, 38%. That's down a little from where he has been, but basically Trump has been in that 40 to 45% range for month after month after month recently. The average of all presidents that we at Gallup have measured over time is 54%. So that average of roughly around 40% for the job approval rating for President Trump is below average. Let's look at where that stands additionally compared to other presidents in the September of their second year after they were elected. Barack Obama, 45% job approval rating, 43, 45 in that range back in September of 2010, not that far above where Trump is now. George W. Bush, we can go back to September of 2002, again, about the same period for where Trump is now compared to where he was elected. George W. Bush's job approval rating, September 2002, was 70%. Now, remember, that was 1 year after the terrorist attacks of 9/11. So W. Bush was still enjoying a rally effect. He had, in fact, risen to 90% after the terrorist attacks, and that stands to this day as the highest job approval rating that we have ever seen here at Gallup. Bill Clinton, back in September of 1994, in his second year, his job approval rating was in that 42 to 44% range. He actually had one reading of 39%. Bill Clinton did in that time period. So again, Clinton, 2 years in at about this point, about where Trump is now, maybe just a little higher. George H.W. Bush, back in September of 1990, his job approval ratings were very high, 73, 76%. Why? Well, we had initiated as a country military action against Saddam Hussein after he had invaded Kuwait. And Bush at that point was enjoying a rally effect coming around that military action. In fact, the next year after we actually invaded and then won that first Persian Gulf War, George H.W. Bush's job approval rating rose to 89%, just 1 point off his son's rating as the highest in our history. Ronald Reagan, September 1984, job approval rating about 42%. That's a little higher, but roughly in the same range as Trump is now. Jimmy Carter, he was elected president, of course, back in 1976. Fast forward to September of 1978. Where was Jimmy Carter? Well, his approval range was 42 to 45%, roughly like a lot of other presidents of that period in time. And again, just slightly above where Trump is now. Richard Nixon, elected to the presidency in 1968. By September of 1970, his approval rating, 51, 57, two different polls we conducted in September of 1970. Considerably higher than where Trump is now. John F. Kennedy was elected in 1960. Kennedy, over his 1,000 days in office before he was assassinated, had the highest average approval rating of any president that we have ever measured here at Gallup. In September of 1962, his approval rating was actually a little lower than it was at other points in his presidency, but still quite a bit higher than contemporary presidents at that period in their administration, except for the two Bushes. Kennedy's rating was 63% in September of 1962. And Dwight Eisenhower, elected president, General Eisenhower, the supreme commander of Allied forces in Europe, of course, victorious in World War II, elected president in 1952. By September of 1954, Ike's rating, 66%. Now, keep in mind that both Reagan and Jimmy Carter had ratings roughly the same. And Bill Clinton, at this period in time, Carter was not reelected when he ran for president again in 1980. But of course, Ronald Reagan and Bill Clinton, despite having ratings in the low 40s in September of their second year in office, a couple of years later, ran for reelection and both were reelected handily. So Trump's current rating and where it is now is not necessarily predictive of his probability or chances of being reelected president if and when he runs for re-election in 2020. Trump recently tweeted that his approval rating would be 25 points higher if it wasn't for the witch hunt that was going on now with the special counsel, Robert Mueller. We don't know whether or not that is true. We cannot investigate that scientifically, but we can look at Robert Mueller right now in the eyes of the American public. Mueller's image is better than Donald Trump's among all Americans at this point in time. Surveys that we just completed here at Gallup show that Mueller has a 38% favorable, 32% unfavorable rating. Donald Trump's rating in that same poll, his image rating, 41% favorable, 58% unfavorable. So Mueller overall looked at much better than the man he is investigating, Donald Trump. Interesting to compare Robert Mueller to Ken Starr. He was an independent counsel, of course, who was appointed back in the Clinton administration. He began looking at the Whitewater scandal, in which Bill and Hillary Clinton were involved from their days in Arkansas. Of course, Ken Starr's investigation morphed into looking at the sexual affair that Bill Clinton had with the White House intern, Monica Lewinsky. By the way, we're going to come back to Monica Lewinsky in a few minutes. Ken Starr's image among the American people in early 1998, which was the year in which Bill Clinton was impeached, was actually fairly mixed, 24 favorable, 24 unfavorable. A lot of people didn't have an opinion about Ken Starr at that point. However, once Starr released his report, once the House of Representatives impeached Bill Clinton, and then Bill Clinton, of course, was acquitted by the Senate, we came back in and looked at Ken Starr's rating one last time in March of 1999, 24% favorable, 66% unfavorable. So maybe a warning for Robert Mueller. After that report is released, depending on what happens with it, it's possible that Mueller's image could get more negative. If Donald Trump leaves office, who would take over? Right now, of course, that would be Vice President Mike Pence. Pence's rating is a lot better than the president's at this point, although not great. 43% favorable, 42% unfavorable. Like Trump, of course, Republicans very, very positive about Pence, but independents and Democrats much more negative. Jeff Sessions, as I'm recording this, he's very much in the news because in this bizarre kind of scenario, the man who appointed him, his boss, Donald Trump, has continued to savage Attorney General Jeff Sessions from Alabama in his public statements. Recently, Trump said in an interview, "I don't have an attorney general." And then he said, "I'm really disappointed in Jeff Sessions." And he goes on and on and on about his negative feelings about Jeff Sessions. Well, our data show that Republicans have picked up on that negativity, even though, keep in mind, Jeff Sessions was a Republican senator from Alabama and was one of the first U.S. senators to endorse Donald Trump, which is why Donald Trump, in turn, appointed him attorney general when Trump was elected. But right now, Trump has turned on Sessions. Republicans have picked up the cue. 33% of Republicans have a favorable opinion of Jeff Sessions, but 40% an unfavorable opinion. That's a net negative, which is unusual. We can go back in history. Eric Holder, who was an attorney general for much of Barack Obama's presidency, did have a more negative than positive image when we tested him in 2014. But Eric Holder had a positive, net positive opinion among Democrats, which was, of course, his party. We can go back to the presidency of George W. Bush. Alberto Gonzalez of Texas was his attorney general in part at times. When we measured Gonzalez in March of 2007, his image was negative overall, 26% favorable, 38% unfavorable. So that's not that different from attorneys general that we have measured. But when we look at Gonzalez by party, he had a very positive opinion among Republicans. So Sessions stands out now because his image as attorney general is net negative among his own party, and that is a very unusual situation. Donald Trump, looking ahead to the midterms, continues to extol the positive condition of our U.S. economy. Well, that is one place where Donald Trump is speaking truth as far as our public opinion data are concerned. One of the measures that I think is very relevant and interesting is our most important problem question, which we ask every month. What percent of Americans now mention any aspect of the economy when we say, what is the most important problem facing the country? It is down to 12%. That is the most negative for any Gallup poll that we have ever conducted in which we netted together all of the mentions of the economy, just 12% mentioning the economy. Let me give you a reference point, 86%. That's the percent of Americans who mentioned that the most important problem facing the country was something to do with the economy back in 2008, 2009, after the recession. Right now, we have over half of Americans, slightly over half of Americans, who say the U.S. economy is excellent or good. That is a near record, one of the highest ratings on that scale we've ever measured. 55% of Americans say that the U.S. economy is getting better, 37% worse. That, again, is one of the highest net positive optimism scores on the economy that we have measured. We also have in the range of about 65% of Americans who say now is a good time to find a quality job. Again, near a record score on that. So a lot of our measures show that, in fact, Americans are perceiving a very positive economy. The key issue is, going along with that, we don't see the type of positive presidential job approval ratings that we typically might. Say when Bill Clinton was president back in the dot-com boom, when he got much higher approval ratings with similar kinds of very positive economic perceptions on the part of the public. We also don't see high satisfaction ratings. Only 37% of Americans now say they are satisfied with the way things are going in this country. And that is well below where it was, again, at the last time we really had a boom economy of this sort back in the dot-com boom. Hillary Clinton is out with a new edition of her book. She's added an afterword to it and has been making the rounds of television talk shows. Her image, well, this is unusual because she is fairly far removed now from her failed bid for the presidency in 2016, but her image is still very negative, 30% favorable, 60% unfavorable. That's roughly where it was during the election. So where typically we might find that a presidential candidate's image improves after he, and they've all been he's prior to Hillary Clinton, after he leaves the arena, as it were, having lost the election, images get better. Not so for Hillary Clinton. Here we sit in September of 2018, and her image is still very much net negative. You may ask me at what point Hillary Clinton had the most positive image among Americans. Well, interestingly, it was as her husband was being impeached. We called this at the time, back in late 1998, the aggrieved spouse benefit that Hillary Clinton got. Again, as her husband, President Bill Clinton, was being impeached, Hillary Clinton's favorable rating was 67% positive. Her unfavorable rating was just 29%. That's the negative side of the equation. That's a far cry from where her rating is at this point in time. Latest rating we had on Mitt Romney was also negative, 35% favorable, 51% unfavorable. Interestingly, that comes several years after he ran, but of course failed in his bid for the presidency in 2012. So he ended up with a net negative, but not nearly as negative as Hillary Clinton's. John McCain, on the other hand, after his failed bid for the presidency back in 2008, had generally very positive ratings. And also John Kerry. Remember, he was a Democratic nominee back in 2004, and our ratings from that time forward have shown him, generally speaking, to be net positive. So Mitt Romney and Hillary Clinton, the exception, they lost, had more negative ratings, but Hillary Clinton seems to be the most negative of any failed candidate that we have measured. A lot of people ask me about these favorable ratings, who really over history, Gallup history at any rate, has had the most positive image of anybody that we have measured? And by the way, we have done almost 1,900 favorable ratings of people in the news over the years. I think you'll find it fascinating that several of the people who at one point had very high ratings have fallen far, far from glory. Bill Cosby, back in January and February of 1997, had a 90% favorable rating, riding high after his famous sitcom, The Cosby Show. Boy, he's fallen from favor now that he has had his troubles with many, many accusations and, of course, court cases and decisions about his actions in terms of sexual abuse. Tiger Woods, back in 2000, had a positive rating of 88%. His ratings have fallen since that point for a variety of reasons. Mark McGwire, the famous baseball player, he had in 1998 a 87% favorable rating, and then he ran into trouble with steroids and drug-taking allegations. He's fallen from glory. Other men that have had high ratings, Colin Powell, at one point back in 2002, again after 9/11, in the Bush administration, he had an 88% favorable rating. And then George W. Bush himself, after 9/11, had an 87% favorable ratings. So those are the highest favorable ratings in our Gallup history. Bill Cosby, Tiger Woods, Colin Powell, Mark McGwire, the baseball player, and George W. Bush. Who's been at the bottom end of the scale? Highest unfavorable rating we've ever measured. This won't come as a great shock. Osama bin Laden, 97% unfavorable after 9/11. Saddam Hussein, 96% unfavorable rating when we measured him in 1998. Mark Furman, do you remember him? He was one of the prosecutors in the O.J. Simpson trial. Well, at about that time that trial was going on, we measured his image 87% unfavorable. Mark Furman did not acquit himself well in the eyes of the American public during that famous trial. Fidel Castro, a couple of our highest unfavorable ratings. And also in that group, Monica Lewinsky, as I mentioned earlier. She had, in December of 1998, that was the point when Bill Clinton was waiting for his Senate trial after having been impeached by the House of Representatives. Monica Lewinsky had an unfavorable rating of 82% at that point in time. Finally, let's go back in time to 1948, 70 years ago. Here's a series of questions that Gallup was asking at that time. See if you can answer them. Do you think there will be another big war within the next 10 years? Again, Gallup asking the American public this in 1948. 57% of Americans said yes, another big war. And of course, there wasn't. There was no big war between 1948 and 1958. So in that instance, the public was wrong. On average, how much does your family spend on food, including milk, each week? Well, back in 1948, $25 was the median average that Gallup reported. Do you think that Negroes, and that was the word that was used in our wording back in 1948, do you think that Negroes should or should not be required to occupy a separate part of a train or bus when traveling from one state to the other? This is surprising and dismaying when we look at the answers here. 1948, 42% of Americans said yes, separate accommodations on train or buses for African Americans. 49% said no. Interestingly, when Gallup at that point, 70 years ago, separated out residents living in southern states, 84% said yes to that question. Do you think Negroes, the way we worded it then, should or should not be required to occupy a separate part of a train or bus when traveling from one state or another? Again, 84% of residents of the South at that point said yes. Finally, we talk a lot about the poor job approval rating for Congress at this point in our history. I've certainly talked about it a lot on these podcasts and elsewhere. Americans really down on their elected representatives. But let's look back in 1948. Were Americans in love with Congress? No, this is not a new phenomenon. The question that was asked at that time was, has Congress done a good job or a poor job in dealing with the problems facing the country? And Gallup allowed people three answers, good, fair, or poor. Only 19% of Americans rated Congress with a good rating back in 1948, 34% fair, and 31% poor. If you look at that 19% as the equivalent of our approval rating for Congress today, it's almost exactly the same. So overall, what we found here, looking back 70 years ago, is that what goes around comes around. That's our Gallup podcast for this week. I'm Dr. Frank Newport, Gallup Editor-in-Chief. We invite you to subscribe to our Gallup podcast and thereby not miss any of the important insights we provide as we look at public opinion around the world and here in the United States. Thanks for listening.